Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. So this chap, or it could have been a woman, arrives at the pearly gates. Whether it was a man or woman, it was definitely an Episcopalian. Arrives at the pearly gates of heaven, and there St. Peter greets them and says to him, or to her, just as Jesus told you, there are many different rooms in heaven, and I want to just show you around so that you can see the different rooms and decide where you want to be. So he led the person down to this magnificent corridor, off which were all these different rooms. So he said, come along. And so the person followed him, and they came to the first door. Out of that door was coming this amazing gospel music, and there was shouts of joy, and they opened the door, and there was a huge congregation from a gospel choir, obviously just having such a good time. And St. Peter says, well, you know, here's a gospel group, and you can always come and join them. And the guy said, well, that looks pretty good, but what else have you got to show me? So Peter said, come along, and they moved down to the next door. And from that door is coming all this kind of rock music and all these hallelujahs, and they open the door, and it's an evangelical church, and there are lots of people hallelujahing, and there's great rock music and people playing their air guitars, and the guy says, wow, that looks pretty fun, and yeah, this is the evangelical group, so you may want to come there. But come along, let me just show you some other things. So he follows him down to the next door, and out of that door is coming the most beautiful music ever heard in the whole of creation. And the guy says, yeah, these are the Episcopalians. And he opens the door and sees fabulous flower arrangements, this fabulous choir. And he says, oh, yes, St. Andrew's Wellesley is on duty this Sunday representing the Episcopalians. And the guy said, wow, I mean, I'm probably going to want to come here, but do you have anything else? And the guy said, yeah, come along, come along. But then when they come to the next door, Peter turns around to him and says, shh, and he starts tiptoeing. So the person says, okay. They start tiptoeing along as well. They tiptoe past the door. Then the person taps Peter on the shoulder and says, who's in there? And Peter says, it's the fundamentalists. They think they're the only ones here. And we don't want to disappoint them. And just as the gates of heaven open to all as a sign of God's infinite love, which we celebrate this Easter, so it is true that there are many ways that we can understand Easter and the great gift that God gives to us. And at my last parish up in New Hampshire, I did a little survey to find out, you know, what people understood about Easter. And I asked a cross-section of people, young and old, you know, children, adults, different denominational backgrounds. It was really interesting to hear the kinds of things they said. So here's a sample. Easter is about the gift of life after death. Easter is about hope. Easter is about Christ's atoning sacrificial death on the cross for our sins. Easter is about chocolate Easter eggs. Easter is a vindication of Jesus' life and the way of loving our neighbor that Jesus showed us. Easter and the resurrection are the sign that suffering does not have the last word. Easter is about showing us that even in the situations that seem most hopeless, new life can arise. Easter is about bunnies. Hope. New life, eternal life, suffering and death not having the last word. These things are all true about Easter. But for me, recently, I have found my own spiritual focus has been very much about how new life and new hope can come out of situations that seem so utterly hopeless, that seem so utterly dead. And this focus, which has really been part of my life now for a number of months, arose because of an encounter I had with a parishioner that had a profound impact on me. I got a call that this parishioner was in hospital, and so I went up to the Leahy Clinic to see them, not knowing what to expect. And I arrived there, and there was this parishioner sitting, looking dismayed and lonely. And the first words that came out of her mouth were, "I'm dying." We were about to engage in a conversation and talk about this when all of a sudden a crowd of people arrived in her room with balloons and presents because it was her birthday. And that really shut the conversation down. And so I left. I went back some days later. And, I went, as I drove there, I was praying, as one often does going to situations like this. I prayed that God would, give me the words that I needed to say to help this person and convey the message of hope. And I know that, clergy, I know it's like this for us, that we go to these situations praying, above all, that we won't get in the way and that we'll allow God's words to speak. And I arrived in her room. It was in a different place. And she was looking radiant. And she said, "I'm so glad to see you." And the words that then came out of her mouth, she could have just knocked me over, were, "I want you to know that dying can be a beautiful thing. Dying can be a beautiful thing." And I was left speechless. And she said, "I just want you to know that I've found that all my fears, all my anxieties have just slid away. That I feel God's presence deeply with me. I've been able to let go of fear, say things to my family, and I feel like this is the beginning of a new step." And to have someone, you expect that kind of thing from a clergy person standing in a pulpit, maybe to say that kind of thing. But when someone who is facing their own death says that to you, it just had an enormous impact on me. And it's not just the impact that it had about life after death, but it's really made me think about this whole question about how in situations within our lives, within the world or within your individual lives, situations that can seem so hopeless and dead, in those very situations, God's love is at work. Seeds of new life and hope can arise. And I've been very much thinking about a particular story, an iconic story for me that I carry around with me, but I've been really focused on it since this situation. It's a story about an incident that happened in Britain, in Northern Ireland, over 30 years ago. It was a situation that seemed so utterly hopeless at the time when there was so much hatred in Northern Ireland between Protestants and Catholics, between the English and the Irish. War was afoot. It's about an incident that took place on Memorial Day, when people were gathered at a war memorial to remember Irish people, both Catholic and Protestant, who'd served in the British Army both in both world wars. And a man who attended that service was a man called Gordon White. He happened to be a Protestant, and he was there with his daughter, Marie, who was a nurse in her early 20s. I've been thinking about this, the Brexit thing, with that whole Northern Ireland border thing has made me think about this as well, about how much is at stake with getting that right. But this incident helped propel that peace which we're now trying to preserve. So Gordon was there with his daughter, with many others, at this war memorial. And just as the parade was starting, an enormous bomb exploded, killing 30 people. And Gordon and his daughter were covered in rubble from a building that collapsed. And they were lying there under the rubble, and Gordon reached out and was holding his daughter's hand, trying to comfort her. And the last words that she said to him were, "Daddy, I love you very much." About 5 minutes later, the rescuers came, and they dragged her out and him out of the rubble. And she was taken to hospital, but she never regained consciousness. And while Gordon was still sitting there amongst the rubble at the memorial, covered in dust and everything, he learned of his daughter's death. And then before he knew it, as is typical of our world, there was a reporter shoving a microphone in his face. What do you have to say? And to the astonishment of the listeners, he said this: I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. Dirty sort of talk is not going to bring her back to life. She was a great wee lassie. She loved her profession. She was a pet. She's dead, but she's in heaven, and we shall meet again. And I will pray for the men who did this tonight and every night. As one historian said, no words in more than 25 years of violence in Northern Ireland had such a powerful impact on people. And I remember talking to an Irish Catholic friend of mine from Dublin, and he says he remembers that so clearly, about these words of forgiveness and grace and love that just changed everything and propelled people who had been at each other's throats into a time of peace. And that is what Easter is about. It's about confronting situations that appear to be dead, 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 and seeing in them life, 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 seeing in them the seeds of Christ's resurrection. And it isn't just about the big events of the world around us, but it's about our lives, our relationships, our failures, the things that confront us. Often in these situations lies the hope and the purpose for which Christ has for you. And that is what we celebrate this morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.